Okay. We know that we're in this Aquarian age. It's where we are for 2,000 years. To me, it's such a beautiful sign. It has no negative thing within it. All of it is positive. You can't see a divine feminine here because the divine feminine is hid with Christ in God. Remember, God took Adam's rib and made a divine feminine out of it. He looked inside of him, and as mankind wakes up and knows that divine feminine lives within them, that this is what Christ was looking for. He said, I have not where to lay my head. We all know he had plenty of places to sleep, but he meant his understanding. He wants us to have the understanding that he has, that mentality, the emotions, the will, and the desires of him. All of those things incorporated within our being as we live, breathe, and walk. And so he's kind of got his work cut out for him, and so do we as we work alongside him. But we have to be willing. It's all about attitude, your attitude. So if we can keep our attitude adjusted, then we can learn so much more because it brings us into a willingness to do his heartbeat. Anyway, we have the man. It's a beautiful sign, really. He has a picture, and the scripture talks about, remember Jesus said, go find the man with the picture. Now knowing men did not carry pitchers on their shoulders, only women. So he wasn't talking about a female walking the natural earth at that time, but this time. When you find the man with the pitcher, then tell him to make the supper ready. So we are the man with the pitcher. Karen talked about the divine flow. Well, you see where that one little fish is. In the sign before this, there are two fishes. One is swimming against the current, so to speak, and one is always going upward and ascending way because it wants to go beyond that elliptical plane, not just going along with that chained woman. Remember, Pisces has the chain, she's in chains. And Perseus, is that his name, Morgan, comes and sets her free because he sees that she's chained. Anyway, I guess I'm getting way off, but the next sign we see beside the fish and the man, the pitcher, is Pegasus, the winged horse. And that means so much more as you study it in scripture. This just isn't something that's out there in natural astrology. It's actually been written in our heavens from the beginning of time. But until that marries us, people walking around putting it in their feet, it doesn't mean much. You have to take those high things and incorporate them into every part of your life, whether you have understanding of them or not. Of course, it helps if you get a little bit, because you kind of know where you've been and where you might be going and where you are. Anyway, and the next one is the swan. And well, you can see the meanings underneath. This swan means the blesser returning. If you plant giving, forgiveness, if you plant love, you're not going to reap hate. Like Michael working so hard, he's planting now. He's sowing for his good, and it will come out that way. He's not going to reap the un, he will reap the blessing, because that's what he's sowing to. And we go out here and plant stuff, and we expect to reap something else. What is it y'all say in your meetings, Bruce? You keep doing the same thing.
If you keep doing what you're doing, you'll keep getting what you're getting.
Well, yeah, I like that. So, you know, it's so much is up to us. It's in our hands what we choose. How we think and feel is nobody's fault but our own. We get to choose. So sometimes that's hard because things seem so negative or things are coming against us. But we say, hey, I see where this is coming from. This attitude is not me and it's not for me. I'm not going to eat it. I'm not going to be part of that. Doesn't mean I don't own it. The fact that it's happening, yeah, it's happening. But then if I can say to myself, this is happening and it's happening to me, but I will get beyond it. I'm not going to stay in this place. Then that's owning it, saying it's mine right now. But I think I'll give it away in a little while if you don't mind. I mean, you can have it back or whatever. And anyway, that's the age we're in. And it's such a beautiful age. Probably none of us will live to see all the beautiful things that can come out of it. Although we're beginning to see some wonderful things in technology. I feel that we will see spiritual things. We won't have to have some of the technology as we have the mind of Christ, of the Father, because we will see it before it comes. And then our son is still in Leo. This is the most aggressive sign. This is the tribe of Judah. But you see, he finishes off the serpent. You see this big water serpent, Hydra. Do you know his name in mythology, Morgan, the serpent? I'm not sure either. I haven't studied, I don't know mythology much. But anyway, 20-something years ago, I'll tell this little story because it bears repeating. I was just beginning to see this in scripture, all this astrology stuff. And so, you know, I had been raised in a Pentecostal church, and that was a real no-no. But certain things you couldn't read about or study about. So I just said, okay. I said, Father, will you show me if I'm supposed to pursue this avenue? If I'm supposed to study it, because I'm your servant. And I could be misled. I mean, I can't tell you the times I've been misled. But anyway, the next morning we had to go pick up someone from for church. And when I got to the highway, there was a crow eating a dead serpent. And my hair stood on end. I said, gotcha. I know what I'm supposed to do, and I'm going to do it with all my heart. So, anyway, that's Leo. It is the most aggressive sign. It's a fire sign. Let's see. And our moon also is in a fire sign. It's in Sagittarius today. It has
What's the name of that serpent? What's the name of it?
Hydra.
Oh, that's the one that Hercules' labors.
The 12 labors of Hercules.
Yeah.
Well, there is so much in myth that goes along with these stories. Probably to do good to study them, I just can't give myself to that, so I'll let y'all do it. I have to do what I do. But anyway,
in the myth, it was a many-headed serpent, water serpent.
Oh, yeah.
But every time he mashed a head, two would grow back in the stomach.
Oh, yes.
So he had to burn it first. And he'd smash it and then burn it.
Okay. Then our moon is in Sagittarius for a couple of days. It too is a fire sign. And if you know a Sagittarius, if you're around them just a little while, you'll find out they have a point to make. You see his quiver on his, he's shooting an arrow. So when he's talking, he will make a point with you. He or she. And you can't mistake them, because that's the way they win all their arguments. And they're good at it too, because they usually get their facts straight. Anyway, that's the moon sign for today, which changes every 2.5 days, thankfully. This governs our emotions, the moon. So it would behoove us to understand about where the moon is and what it's all about and all that stuff. The water's changing. Okay. I've had this on my mind for quite a while, so I thought I would try to share a little bit of it with you. The scripture says, "The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the body, the spirit," which soul. Is it? Converting the what?
Soul.
Soul. And so I did an extensive study on that. Your soul is four-party. Do we have that up here? Yeah. This thing. You see the four parts there of the mind, emotions, will, and desires. And, of course, it's not pretty like this. We've taught on this so many times that we think everybody knows it. I have a picture here. Pass that to Patty, honey. I think everybody else has seen it. So this is the part that we're being dealt with in. Don't you wish it was all that neat and easy and all that perfect and all that flowing together? But sorry, it's not. But back to the law. The scripture gives us the law in Exodus, and then in Deuteronomy, it gives us the law again, but it takes each of the Ten Commandments and breaks them down so that you have more of an understanding. Actually, Deuteronomy is called the second law. So I looked that up, and it means a doubling over, not just the law that's outside, but the law, those inner laws that come from within. If man didn't break the inner laws, he would never break an outer law. Never. But God knew we were going to be lawbreakers. Anyway, it means a doubling, Deuteronomy does. And that word doubling is an important word, because in the scripture there are four coverings in this tabernacle that you see over here in this picture. That part right there that nobody sees, which answers to our soul and our spirit. Nobody really sees that except for the display we put on. Now, if we've got a bad spirit, somebody will pick that up in a heartbeat. But if you got a good spirit, they will that too. You can't hide spirit. And you can't hide where your soul is either, because it'll come out of your mouth. It runs over with it. Anyway, the first inner covering there was white, the fine twined linen, which speaks of the righteousness within the saints. Well, we can't even boast about that beautiful righteousness, because that's the righteousness of the God, that being within us. And every man is appointed a measure of righteousness. It's like faith, but we have to hold on to it and keep it right. so to speak. You shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. So, it's that kind of righteousness, and that's fine twined linen. But the next curtain is black goat's hair.
What did you say was the chapter and verse?
For Exodus 26 and 9 has to do with the curtain, but the Deuteronomy is the whole book.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it just, if you look at the Hebrew, that's where I got that from, is the Kabbalah. Anyway, the black goat's hair, instead of there being 10 curtains, like the fine twine linen was measured, so I mean, everything in the tabernacle was measured according to what Moses told them as that he received on the mount. And they had dimensions. So the linen curtains, there were 10 of them, certain measures, which I'm not going to go into, that all have spiritual value. But the black goat's hair was 11 curtains, and that's the number of disorder, you know. But the 11th curtain was doubled on the back side, under, back under itself, so to speak. The reason for that being is this black goat's hair speaks of us, our missing the mark, so to speak. The darkness within each and every vessel, and we, that black goat's hair speaks of us having an inner work, so it's not only an outer work, but an inner work. And then the other two coverings was the round skin dyed red, which speaks of everything being dipped into the blood of the Christ. It's not a natural dipping, it's a spiritual dipping from within that each of us have to give heart to, otherwise it's not under the blood, so to speak. And the last covering also was badger skin. That's what their shoes were made of. That they say they wore the same shoes for 40 years and they were still good when they went past over the River Jordan. Now that's hard to believe, but they were made out of badger skin, and what we're looking for is spiritual value anyway. It's not the natural value, so to speak. But if you're looking, you can find it. So, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. What needs conversion? The soul. Our mentalities. How we think is so, so important. How we think brings how we feel about certain things. And the feeling has to do with the emotion that every man experiences. Don't we want positive emotion? This is going to be hard for some of us, but let me tell you something. When you turn your TV on, there are attitudes coming out of that thing, out of the mouths of people, that affect everything in your house. Oh, yes. You don't have to believe it. I know it. Good or bad. So, if you're going to play something, play music. Something makes you want to laugh or sing or dance or be happy. Something that feed your soul a sweetness. Anyway, the word law here goes back to the Torah, and you can see the natural Torah written here. This is the letters of the Hebrew alphabet, which means so much more than you can dream if you could study it. So the law of the Lord is perfect out of the Torah, and the Torah is the first five books of the Bible called the Pentateuch. Pen stands for five, I think. And it means to teach or point at something. For instance, One thing that always stays with me in the law that comes to me a lot is something that Don Cooley taught us. There are four things too wonderful to bear, and you may have to help me with these in Proverbs. The way of a ship at sea, a man with a maid, a serpent on a rock, and there's one more, eagle in the air. Okay, what about the man with the maid? Deuteronomy goes on to tell us, if a man find a maid in the field, and he takes her, and she doesn't cry out or tell anybody, you do know what I mean by him forcing her, don't you? Anyway, if he forces her and she doesn't cry out, they're both killed. They both die a death. But the scripture says, if the maid says, help. Okay, let me break this down into our today world. A thought comes, and we know that thought is not a right thought or an attitude, a desire. I mean, sometimes you really get burnt with desires. I think I want this, and then God, you get it, and you wish to God you didn't have it. Because, you know, but in this case, or these our cases, so to speak, we see that coming, that attitude, or that, we've thought that way before, and where did it take me? Where does that get me to? How does that affect me and everybody around me? Speaking certain words should never, never be spoken in certain attitudes that we do. So we plant in negative seed. Anyway, we see it coming, and I, you know, when I know this, I say, okay, Lord, I've been there before. I've been in that fire that has hurt me and others. Please, don't let this take me. So the crying out saves me. It might take me that time, but I cried out. So that will redeem me. Do you understand? Mm-hmm. So, you know, you fail sometime. All right, so we all fail. No one's not worse than the other. But if it were, we wouldn't be so. So the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. We haven't arrived yet. We're growing up into the understanding of the Father. Up into the head, Ephesians says. The body of Christ grows up, and she made big points of that this morning about the body being many, many membered. It's not just one. Each person has a function that is vital to the functioning of the body of Christ. Just living in this world, it's not so much an outward thing or something that you even talk about all the time. It just is. And it works so beautifully when people are in harmony, you know, working together. The word converting is a beautiful word to me. And it does say so. Nowhere does it say converting spirit or converting the body. We can convert the body, all right. I mean, you can get out here and weightlift and do whatever you do. And I'm not against that. But Paul says, fixing a physical man is of little profit. That's what he said. Didn't say no profit. He said little profit. So when we come here, when we manifest and we know who we are, that we've been sent by the Father for purpose, then we're on a spiritual journey. And so many never don't get to that place in this life. Now, I don't know which life they're going to get there. And that's not up to me, but I'm so thankful that I know I am a human being on a spiritual journey, not just a human being on a human journey. I'm living here on a a cross of time and space, that human cross. Everybody is. They don't know it. If they did, I could tell them, could explain it, but it's a personal thing. Each person has to know that themselves. So, the word converting means to turn back, to circumcise. That means there's a fleshy part there that has every Jewish baby was circumcised on the eighth day. All that foreskin had to be cut away. And that's so important that you see that little fleshy thing. I won't forget when they give me this little operation for the carotid artery. As it was healing, it had a little piece of skin, just a little piece, hanging out. So the doctor circumcised that in the office. That little piece of skin. How it hurt, and he even deadened it. But he did it right there, and I'm going, what are you doing? You're cutting my throat, you know. I'm not into pain. Anyway, so the word soul goes on and on, but I do want to touch on it just a little bit before I sit down.
And that, in case someone missed it, is that part that is circumcised is the instrument of through which that seed comes.
Yes.
And that's why it must be circumcised first.
Oh, yes.
Or that pure word cannot go forth, the seed being the word.
Absolutely. It keeps the disease out of it. It means to circumcise, also means to take deep consideration. Carolyn, Rokas's Carolyn, paid Johnny, I thought, the most beautiful compliment. And I don't mean to embarrass him, and I probably have told this before, but I'll tell it again. Anyway, she said, I just love your husband's slow, calm, cool approach to everything that he takes into consideration. I said, yes, he does do that. So we give you. That's wonderful. Yeah. And I thought, that is so true. And she said, Johnny and Rokas had had a conversation, and if you knew Rokas, he would do this. In the middle of conversation, he'd go somewhere. I'm talking mentally. And you'd see him leave you. So, she said he came in the bedroom scratching his head and laughing. He said, you know, he said, I really like Johnny. He said, he'll tell you like it is. He said, I was talking to him, and I was letting my mind drift. And he said, Rokas, stay with me. Or something. He said, did you know you're taking a trip here? So after that, they did really well. Even when Rokas climbed through the truck window because they couldn't get the door open. And Johnny said, buddy, I would open the door if you'd have waited a minute. But anyway, you just had to know him to appreciate all his stuff. So,
Rokas, I just have to say, Rokas could find himself physically anywhere. You know, a bunch of women or whatever together, and he might be up, you might look around, there he is up somewhere, just sitting there like an angel, you know. Just.
Yeah, he'd be quiet. He did that to us one time. All of us, the ladies, were up in a roof loft, probably five or six of us, telling lady jokes. And we looked up, and he was sitting up on the couch behind Carolyn. We couldn't see him. And Dorothy said, Rokas, we didn't invite you. Go on with the men. Because we were telling off-color lady jokes. Anyway, soul means, psuche is the Greek word. And I like the way Stacy Wood put this. He called them Sue and Kay, the two women. Mm-hmm. So I thought that was interesting. But that's the part of us that changes the most. It has to do with willingness, and I thought it was so appropriate when Karen was pointing out Michael's willingness. That is a beautiful thing. Because my willingness, sometimes my determinations, I have to look at them things. Am I really willing? If you're not willing, don't do it, because you've already lost your sacrifice if you do it unwillingly. But if you do it willingly, you get a blessing. So I'll show us that chart if I can get to it. These are, this is how the camp of determination or willpower within man looks. And it's the one that changes the most of all the signs. Let's see where my notes. In the Revelation, when it speaks of these four creatures, it calls them the beast. So you really need to study your Greek, Hebrew, and all that stuff to know what this is really referring to, because it changes so much. And Ezekiel calls them living creature. Is your soul alive? Of course it is, if you're breathing. And also in Ezekiel, it calls them cherubims. And Isaiah calls them seraphims. So you see the graduated heights. People will tell you, remember how the bull got brought, and the bull was for the priesthood tribe sacrifice. You bring all of the BS in your life. If you don't know what that is, we'll talk after church. This stubborn, wanting its way, fire-breathing beast, which is a bull. You bring the bull, but he's not willing. He's not willing because he sees and smells the blood of his predecessors that went before him. How people change, we were talking about that. You don't even recognize that person sometime because of the change that's come in an attitude. Our attitudes usually comes with a big bag of them. If you don't have enough, I'll loan you one. I got some. Anyway, this does not come willing. He comes stomping all that stuff, but they kill him outside the court. He's not allowed into the outer court of the tabernacle. And so that brings, he gets tamed, so to speak, because he gets dead. And then the next time we see him in Ezekiel, he's changed even more to a little calf, a little white-faced heifer. They are beautiful. And I always think of this story because my granddaddy had this kind of bull. And I couldn't even get in the out in the yard where he was and beyond the fence because he did not like me. And granddaddy could make him mine. Anyway, because he had come after me with his head down. Anyway, the little calf, though, I could lay my face up beside him and just pet him. It, just so precious. Do you see the difference? This is the broken, busted will. When that will gets broken and the willingness changes. So then that becomes the person that says, "Not my will, Father." Remember what Jesus said in the scripture. "Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done." Jesus said that, the man. So we have to come to that place. You know, "Lord, this isn't the way I'd have it, but I'm not God. And you know what's best, so whatever is best, you do it no matter what I say, think, or pray. I give it to you." Okay, Morgan, you come for a while.
I don't have a whole lot. you know, we had talked about changing up some things and haven't received any inspiration, so therefore there's been no perspiration. But I do have one thing I want to read for
you. Okay, that's fine.
Maybe the perspiration comes first, then the inspiration.
Not for me, it doesn't.
I'm like you. I have to have inspiration.
I'm not inspired. No point in even going after it. Okay. I thought this was really good. Says, "Dear human, you've got it all wrong. You didn't come here to master unconditional love. That is where you came from and where you will return. You came here to learn personal love, universal love, messy love, sweaty love, crazy love, broken love, whole love, infused with divinity, lived through the grace of stumbling and demonstrated through the beauty of messing up, often. You didn't come here to be perfect. You already are. You came here to be gorgeously human, flawed and fabulous, and then to rise again into remembering. But unconditional love? Stop telling that story. Love and truth doesn't need any other adjectives. It doesn't require modifiers. It doesn't require the condition of perfection. It only asks that you show up and do your best, that you stay present and feel fully, that you shine and fly and laugh and cry and hurt and heal and fall and get back up and play and work and live and die as you. It's enough, it's plenty." I thought that was good.
Yeah, I'd like to put that on my refrigerator door. So I could read it.
And we were talking earlier about just different things about our journey. I wish I've got that book, a book somewhere. If you haven't read it, I'd recommend it. It's called Illusions by Richard Bach. But anyway, in the beginning of the story, it talks about these crystalline creatures that lived at the bottom of the river. It's a pretty fast flowing river, and the way that they lived was they clung to the bottom and so that the current wouldn't pick them up and carry them away. And that's all that they knew, you know, was the clinging to the bottom. You know, because they knew sure as poop that if they let go, that they're going to be, you know, cast against the rocks and destroyed and basically unmade. But one day, one of them decides that he's going to let go. And of course, he talks to some of his friends about it, and they say, he's crazy. They're like Job's friends. But he does it anyway. And sure enough, he gets, you know, beat against the rocks at first. But eventually, the current lifts him up and starts carrying him down the river, safe. And so down the river, you know, he hits different villages, and that's what they do, is they look and they say, "Look, it's one like us, but he flies." So.
Yeah.
Thought that was a cute story.
Yes.
So that's kind of what, I guess you could say, the Jesus thing is really all about. It's not just about Jesus, but it's about anybody like that is able to just lift themselves off and, you know, detach themselves from even the thing that they know the best and just let go. And then maybe sometimes miraculous things do happen. That's really all I got.
Anybody else?
Anybody else?
We like to hear from everybody that wants
stop.
To.
Stop.
Black.